like to call the Design Review Board meeting to order. Today is February 23rd. May I have roll call, please?
Thank you. Member Branch is absent. Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
And Chair Schneider?
Here.
Thank you.
Meeting minutes for February 9th. May I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
I'll second with some comments.
Okay.
When we voted on the AOK power equipment sign, I made the motion to continue the item, whereas we actually granted it project design approval at sign subcommittee. So I'd like to correct that.
Meaning there were, because there were some conditions, right?
There was project design approval with conditions, right. Not continued with conditions.
Okay. Any other comments? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye. I'll abstain.
And another abstention, too. Another abstention? Planning Director report.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. So this Saturday, we have a zoning ordinance open house from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So if you are interested in attending or know of anyone to pass on the word. So we will have different stations that will discuss or be open for review for the different sections of the code. And the other item is on update on the three-member appointments. Apparently, that you will not have an interview on March 1st for the three open seats. There has not been, the last time I heard, there has been no additional applications. So they're keeping it open just for another few weeks, and then city clerk will contact mm-hmm. the three incumbents to let them know what the process is.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
You have a quick question. That open house, what date was that?
This Saturday.
This Saturday,
the 27th. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Right here.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Okay. Do we have any agenda management that needs to happen?
No changes on your agenda today. Your next meeting is March 8th.
Okay. And at this time is the time for public comment. Members of the public who would like to speak on an item that is not on today's agenda may speak at this time. Seeing no one, we will move on to our first item. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Item F1 is on the conceptual review calendar. It's Tierra Contracting Incorporated, addition and revisions. 5484 Overpass Road, case number 15153 DRB.
Okay, may I have declarations from the board?
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, but I am familiar with the site from a couple years ago. I think they were considering something. No ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Same, no site visit, but familiar with the site. No ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, Joe.
Good afternoon. Today, the applicant is requesting conceptual review for a new addition at the TR contracting site. The site currently contains a warehouse, an office, and a large 8,000-gallon above-ground fuel storage tank. The property is located within the light industry, or the M1 zoning district. Currently, the applicant is proposing to construct approximately 1,500-square-foot addition to the existing office building, which is currently about 1,300 square feet, as well as a new covered porch in the rear, as well as a trellis along the front. The applicant will also be making some associated parking and landscape revisions to accommodate the additional square footage. Access to the site is off of the adjacent parcel from Overpass Road. And then at this point, I hand it over to the applicant to walk you through the project and hear if you have any questions.
Okay. Yep, go.
Hi, Glenn Deisler from AB Design Studio. As Joe mentioned, the general area, the vicinity, I brought in a larger aerial map. I don't know if we need to get it on camera.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to kind of familiarize yourself with the site, this is the 101 freeway. This is Patterson Road here, and that is Warden Memorial going to UCSB. So getting to the property is off of Patterson. Then there's Overpass Road that goes past several different businesses, storage facilities. There's actually quite a few animal shelters off of that road as well. And then it goes back into some, there's apartments on the south side there. And what I've outlined right here is the general site parameters. And it's in general a flag lot. It's entered in from overpass, and then you enter the property. And then there's existing vegetation around all four sides. So you really can't see the lot from anywhere except internally. Like I said before, there's a couple different animal shelters in the area. There's one right adjacent to it, right here. So there's quite a few structures and things there. The existing vegetation is very helpful there. There's quite a few barking dog situations that we're not trying to open up to that side, but opening to the inside of the property. Now, if I'm going through photographs, do I go through them here?
That's the best, so they can actually get televised on.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So basically, this is a photograph of the view into the property from overpass, and these are views kind of looking both ways, and you can't see the property from any of these. Then we go down the flag portion, and then it skirts along the side of the existing office building, which is basically a rectangle with a gable roof. Very simple design. It's been there for 20 or 25 years. And then you kind of come into the lot, and you start seeing a larger structure, which is the warehouse on the western side of the property, which we're not planning on doing any revisions to. This is sort of a pretty good shot of the existing office building. And then we have, there's the existing entry. And then we have general characteristics of the site, which are, there's some parking for the office employees. And they have a very limited number of walking customers. It's really just a construction site. Construction office, but they do have periodic deliveries, UPS. Sometimes a customer will come in and they'll have a meeting to go over a project. Tierra does a lot of the site work. You guys are probably familiar with them. They do a lot of road work and site improvements. So there's a lot of heavy construction vehicles and that parked along portions of the site. On this one side of the property here, and if I go to, this is sort of a survey here. This is the existing office. This is the existing warehouse building. And this is basically all construction yard. There are a series of four or so existing mature avocado trees here. And what we're proposing to do is simply put an addition on the northern side here, kind of turn it 90 degrees from the existing gable roof. It's a little bit higher in plate, just to give it a little bit of hierarchy to the structure. In floor plan, this is the existing layout. The reason for the addition is they've just run out of space with their office. So they need additional space for More project manager space, more conference room space, which they don't really have a conference room, improved ADA facilities, which they don't qualify right now either, and just more private offices, estimating rooms, and we're also going through the effort of putting a break room for their employees to use. So that's the addition on this side here. When we get to the elevations, what you see right here in the, just the CAD line drawings are the existing office, and the color versions just below that are the same exact views with the addition. Again, we're taking a very similar form. We're trying to make it a little bit upgraded. We've taken off some of the siding that's there. We've cut back the roof form a little bit. We're even proposing to put a metal roof on top instead of a composite shingle. It needs to a new roof anyway. The owners really are interested in upgrading the facility. So we're doing all new doors, aluminum clad doors and windows, replastering all of the existing and patching up where we need. Let me go back to the plan for 1 second. As part of the renovation, the entry always was right here. We're generally keeping that same location, but filling in the little, you know, the divot that was there before and just kind of straightening it out. And we're creating a trellis over the top of this entry as an entry feature. We're going to restripe to the appropriate amount of parking spaces due to the new square footages. Actually put in real ADA parking and access, and improve existing landscaping beds around. And then also on the, I think this is the northern side here, we wanted to put an outdoor terrace area that's got a little metal structure over it and got some screening from the parking area as sort of, outside employee area so they can have lunch and even go outside and have a meeting if they wanted to do that, if the weather was nice. Obviously, we're updating the entire thermal envelope. We are putting in, we're proposing solar panels on the roof of the addition facing south. Right here. And I have a materials board as well. Okay. So the idea again is to go with just a smooth trowel, stucco finish on the walls. And we're going with a clad wood product for the doors and windows with a contrasting darker color. We have some sort of lighting shielded for night sky. We have a metal roof selection, which is basically, I think that is the color there. And we have some wood screening around the employee break area that we would just do in kind of an aged or stained wood look. And at that point, that probably concludes my presentation. I'll just answer any questions.
Okay, questions from the board? Dennis?
Oh, sure. Which trees are being removed and how many? It looks like at a minimum of two existing trees that would be on the north side. One of them I can read as an avocado, the other as what, CB?
Yeah, I believe that the tree that's right here,
yes,
they're all avocados on that side.
Oh, okay.
So every single one of them is an avocado tree. I believe there are four right there, and right now we're only proposing on removing one.
Any other questions? Bill?
Will there be any additional water use as a result of this?
Well, we've been working with the Goleta Water Department, and in reality, very little uses at all. I think there's one additional toilet from the existing facility. So you kind of swap out watering the avocado tree, and it balances out.
It's great to see you're incorporating the solar panels into this project. Do you know how much they will generate?
I don't believe we've calculated that yet, but we're looking to, you know, maximize that south-facing roof as much as we can.
I recall from having looked at the site that there were some pretty large trees to the south. Those won't be blocking
there's
the solar panels with any shade.
I don't believe so. There's some larger trees right here.
Right.
And our addition is over here and on that slope. I don't think you're going to get any shading at all.
Comments?
Well, just in general comment, I like this. I think it's a really pleasant looking little building.
It's a simple little thing.
Yeah, well, it's simple, but it has a pleasant feel to it. I mean, you went to great lengths to explain that it wasn't visible from anywhere, but I don't see where having it visible would be a detriment.
Yeah,
I think it's very well, looks like it's very well planned out.
Thank you.
I just say, I imagine that the employees who work there will really appreciate this because not many other people get a chance to see what you've done here, but it looks like a good project.
Yeah, they're all excited, very excited about the space and about the the upgrade that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I concur. Nice job. Just one little landscape comment. Maybe there's an opportunity to get a small tree in that finger, perhaps, or maybe if you have too much large equipment, then it might come in here. I don't know.
Well, it seems like that area is just general parking, so I don't think there's going to be large equipment parked right there. So I think we'd be open to that, sure. Mm-hmm. Or at least the accent tree.
A small patio tree or something.
I think overall it's fairly well done. My only comment is, if I can get back here to the elevation. Is up here this gable form, just a lot of room up there. So this one, which is against the property line, if I am correct,
yes,
probably will have some trees and then the avocados and whatever. But this one faces the parking lot. So
correct.
It just seems, I don't know, almost anything would work up there. So just consider doing that next time around is what I'd say.
I think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, there's an opportunity.
What we wanted to do on the inside of the property, the existing structure is actually a ridge beam. And
it's all volume.
It's all volume. Okay. And we were planning on doing the same thing on the new space.
Okay.
So I didn't.
Well, then maybe there's room for some kind of a little slit window there that maybe you need to align, and if that's going to happen there, then maybe it happens on the other end of this frame.
Well, again, that one's facing the dog pound, so we don't really want to open that one up.
Anyway, that's the only one, even though the whole, I mean, I agree, the whole building, you can't see much of the site at all. So anyway, that's all my only comment. Other than that, good. Somebody want to try a motion?
This is before you for conceptual, so we're going to take your comments.
Okay, we could. But the thing I wanted to ask about this is, with the exception of comments from the chair, you've got the materials called out. It's a simple building, so I don't really see where there's additional details. Is this something that could? Do we have to stay with comments or?
We can't do that because we can't vote on an approval without going to design review level. Otherwise, they will never have an approval from us.
I see.
And again, we'll take a look at this in the new code for the for simple projects.
Thank you. Thanks, Carl.
It's okay. I'll still take your motion.
I'd like to make a motion then. For completion of
conceptual
review,
comments
where conceptual comments with the comment that the applicant look at possibly providing a tree in the landscaping finger in the parking lot and look at some sort of window decorative detail, something in the gable end on the west elevation.
And maybe if I could also add to that, the metal roof I think would be appreciated as well compared to the composite roof or what the other you're considering.
It has a composite roof now. We actually would want to do a metal roof.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be, so just those two comments then?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. And I don't, do we have to set a date?
Not for this. It still has to go through the planning process. So
perfect. We'll
notice when it comes back.
Okay.
So it's kind of an indefinite continuance?
More or less, yeah. We worked that out with staff. Okay, thank you.
Now, do you keep this or do you want that next time?
Ask Joe.
Okay.
He wanted to know if you wanted that.
Do I have to leave this or do you want this for the next hearing?
Mr. Chair, if I could just, for this project, because it does have to go through a planning process, it requires a development plan amendment, it would have to come back anyway.
Right.
So that, yeah, so it's for projects that are just coming to DRB alone without other process, then we should take a look at that in the code to be able to do conceptual and design review.
It'd just have to be agendized, is that right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is item G1, Madam Secretary.
Item G1 is a design review. It is Cottage Hospital Restoration Garden Revisions, located at 351 South Patterson Avenue, case number 16016-DRB.
May I have declarations, please?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I did not revisit the site, and I did have an ex parte conversation with the landscape architect, Bob Cunningham.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, to you, Joe.
The applicant is requesting a revised design review. The applicant is proposing to realign the garden pathways to make better use of the space. And the original pond, which you guys saw at a previous DRB meeting, was removed in order to make place for a small meadow. The current proposal includes a enlarged meadow to provide for occasional small gatherings. Some seating pods have been added off the main pathway. And then some landscape changes have been made to enhance the screening from the parking lots. In addition, and is proposing a new flagpole and lighting as shown in the specification under the camera there. And then I hand it over to the applicant to walk you through the other changes.
Are we flipping a coin here?
Mr. Chair, congratulations on your 14th year.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yes.
Thanks, Bob.
The only charter member still extant other than Ms. Gregory. Okay, so I really couldn't have said it more succinctly. Essentially, we've taken out the water feature that we had in this area and laid out the pathway slightly different to provide a few semi-private gathering spaces for patients, families, visitors, and staff use. So instead of one big lawn area, now we have two. It's a California meadow sedge, slightly lower water using than a normal turf grass. And we changed a number of the plant species simply from the point of view of, let me say, designer's prerogative to try to better enhance the new layout. We have changed some species. We took out all of the Chinese flame trees and added around this one area a group of Vitex agnoscastus, the chaste tree, which is the lavender flowering small tree, to essentially give this a nice little enclosed feel. The landscaping, we've beefed up the shrub plantings substantially to provide more screening and privacy from the parking lot. and again, give more of a sense of seclusion to the garden itself. There is a possibility in the future of enhancements that the hospital may be able to fund after a development drive, which may include some more enhanced privacy in the way of walls. And we hope to have a pergola installed at this entrance, as well as a wall between this strictly staff area and the greater garden. That's the essence of the changes. I can go into the specifics of the plant materials, but essentially it's the same garden. It's just slightly reconfigured.
Okay. Questions from the board?
One question. Based on events, how many people do you see this site facilitating?
Well, on a normal day, it would accommodate maybe 30 people if all of the spaces we provided were filled. Hospital staff doesn't have a lot of free time to get out and enjoy the garden, but they do have ready access to the garden, and I anticipate it'll be frequented by staff. In terms of visitors, patients, families will have the opportunity to use the spaces, and again, it's fairly accessible, so we're hopeful that it'll get some pretty good use. There may be occasional events that the hospital might sponsor, but I haven't been given any projected figures on how many people might be accommodated.
If I can add, the intent behind the original design with the water feature was this healing garden space to kind of complement the sacred space in the interior adjacent to the garden. So it's with that intent still, and a gathering, healing spot for both staff, patients, families.
Dennis?
Bob, you talked about a couple of them, but for my own edification, could you point out which entries, which doors are public, and which are staff?
I really can't respond with accuracy. Maybe Maruja can, but I would say my assumption would be from the far right-hand side, which would be out of the entrance of the hospital, you'd have ready access, and then the little notch just about 60 feet to the left of that, that's out of the sacred space, and it's near the lobby, so that would get quite a bit of traffic probably. The far left-hand end is primarily out of the emergency department, and that would probably be more usable by staff. And anybody entering from the northeastern portion, you see that little roundabout? That's the emergency department. There will be public access through on that walkway.
Any other questions, comments?
I just have. Oh, go ahead.
I suppose this is more of a question than a comment. I'm just looking at the drainage plan. Did you guys study possibilities of infiltrating drain stormwater?
Yes, we have. This is actually not an alteration of the original approved grading plan, which did accommodate stormwater. We've slightly manipulated some of the spot elevations in order to make this particular changed layout work. But we haven't changed any of the original stormwater applications.
Okay, so it's all at this point it's all draining to the stormwater city municipal stormwater system.
Yes,
or however it was before.
I believe it goes through infiltration and then exits to the stormwater system. Yeah. But it's not a full gathering of stormwater.
Two questions. That semicircular patio, is there a reason there's no seating on that patio?
Actually, that and the little seating pods that Schneider's pointing out, the intent there is to have movable furniture.
You're just not showing it.
That's okay. Correct.
And then what is that tree there?
Right. That's crepe myrtle. There's a white crepe myrtle there. This is a jacaranda, this is a jacaranda, this is a Canary Island pine, the chase trees, another couple of crepe myrtles over here. This is an Arbutus marina, And these are New Zealand Christmas trees.
That one tree just seems a little close to the walkway, that Lagerstrom, yeah, the one I pointed at.
We'll move it away.
I don't know. It just caught my eye.
Well, yeah, when we plant, we'll make sure that that's at least 6 feet away from the walkway.
Do these combination of trees provide seasonal color?
They do. They're, let's see, four of them are flowering trees, all of those are deciduous. Actually not all of them. The New Zealand Christmas tree is not deciduous, nor is the Arbutus marina. So we have crape myrtles, jacarandas, and the chase tree that are deciduous and will change color in the fall. And they will also bloom in the springtime.
Okay. I'm good with it. Somebody want to try a motion? We're here for design review, so we can go send them on their way, as far as I'm concerned, based upon the comments I've heard so far.
Make a motion for approval of design review.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I'd just like to add, I think it's a very rich display of spaces, both large and small, that will accommodate any variety of uses. I commend you for getting so much out of a small space.
Yeah, I don't, this is way off the subject, of course, but has there been any talk of having any kind of outdoor art? You know, just since Cottage is, at least downtown, taking that direction.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that doesn't need to be part of the motion here. But
the plan that you've already approved did include a few pieces of art, but not in this particular area. Right. That will be one of the focuses that the administration is going to be addressing. But at this point, we have no guarantees.
Right.
It's all a matter of fundraising.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Okay, next item, Madam Secretary.
Item G2 is for design review. It's the Old Town Village mixed-use project located South Kellogg Avenue, west of Kellogg Way, case number 14026 DRB.
May I have declarations from the board?
Site visit, no ex parte.
I've been by the site before, familiar with the site, but no ex parte.
Yeah, I've been by the site, familiar with it, no ex parte.
No, I did not revisit the site, no ex parte.
No site visit and no ex parte?
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have not revisited this site and no ex parte.
Okay, Mary, you're leading
All
the
right,
way here.
Mr. Chair and board members. We have the Old Town Village mixed-use project here before you today. Would you pass this over? And they were before you in January 26th for review, and you had provided some comments, and they're back with to try to address your comments. It's a project. It's 175 townhomes. It includes 113 traditional townhomes, 28 shopkeeper units, and 34 live work units and a community center, and most recently they're adding a swimming pool. I will let the applicant go through the responses to the board members' comments from the last meeting, but your three options today for this project is design review approval, which I'm sure the applicant would be interested in. A second option is design review with conditions that you feel comfortable that staff can review for conformance. And then the third option is to continue the item for additional review as you see needed. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ben.
All right. So we were here before you 4 weeks ago. You may know Lisa Plowman, who's our part of the original design team, and our entitlement consultant, and Jeff Chelwick, who's with Hesma Hulch Architects, the designer and architect for the project. So when we were before you, we got a lot of feedback on the elevations on the site plan and some different programming issues. So you know, we, between Lisa and Jeff and I, we kind of compiled all of our notes. Then we also took all of the notes. Do you need something, Mary?
Let's put something on here.
Okay. And we sort of created our own narrative going through and consolidating some of the comments we heard. And we have exhibits to address what we hope are all of the comments that were raised last time. We are sincerely hoping that we can get an approval this afternoon. If not a straight approval, then certainly something with conditions that we can work with staff on. But, of course, we will be happy with any feedback we can get today. And so what I'd like to do is just walk through the comments that we heard. And in certain cases where I think we have something that's very explanatory, we'll go ahead and show it to you. Otherwise, there are a lot of things on the list. So I'll just keep going through and responding. And if there's anything that anybody would like any additional information on, we'll stop and we'll kind of dig into that particularly. So to start, we've broken these into comments on the elevations, on the unit plans, on the site plan itself, and on the landscape and hardscape. So we'll start with the elevations. So the comments we heard 4 weeks ago, the building should have a more of a utilitarian character, de-emphasizing individual units to look more like a unified building, less variation within each building, and greater variation between building types. Unifying theme is acceptable, but provide more variety. Shopkeeper buildings could include a greater level of distinction between the units, vary the color blocking and materials, and potentially vary the elevation plane a bit on the south and west elevations. So I'll let Jeff actually dive into what we've done with the elevations on these buildings.
Thanks, Ben. Jeff Chelwick, Senior Principal, William S. Melch Architects. In between the submittal that we gave you guys and we got the color department involved, we started looking at all that, so we do have a sample color palette that we want to show for this, and then did color the renderings that we have in the package for you, and that's what we're going to show and go through. I'm real excited about being here because I like this. Every time we go, we get comments back, we reiterate, go back with the team, and really look at what's there. So what we started with was fun and playful, but then we listened. When we listened to exactly what you said, we actually looked at the Canadian Rocky hotels and sort of thought about that. And I said, I'm really excited.
Just don't use the name Awani and you're okay.
And that's good. I think the thing we really came back with was we did have three different building types. We had the residential, the live-work, and the shopkeeper. And each one of them should have a defined architectural style and a character that goes along with that. We also heard simplify. You know, we had maybe too many materials going on. So we sort of took that down, and we created a kit of parts that we wanted to put into each one of those three different building types. And arrange them in a different manner, but have an overall theme that went through the project. So even though we have this variety going on, we have a consistent theme, so you don't think you have like three different projects. So in front of you, the first one is the residential. That was the easiest one, because you think residential, what do you want to put? You want nice materials, you want that big unifying roof. I think that was the Fairmont Benef Hotel, I don't know. So it's a unifying building, and we got rid of some of the stuff, the ticky-tack we had before, looked at that. We have different gable pitches, just like they have. The other thing we noticed is they emphasize the ends. So we had a gable element here, continuous body here, shedded that down. So it was consistent but still had that variety to it. To me, it's got this overall building design style to it. It's not emphasizing the individual units, which was very important. And simplifying materials, we did want to have a variety of siding. So on this one, a residential, we have the full roof concept, a dominant roof, and a horizontal and a vertical siding in place. And then just because we have the other type of residential, we have the sort of rear-loaded and then a front-loaded. This is a different building type, but it fits in the same character. So we use the same types of materials, varying the color palette, still have the consistent roof, You have the front doors and garages on the same side, so we have that sort of accenting going on. And then the end elevations on these buildings are key, and I'll get to that later. The end elevations have a very significant role in the community, so we'd really emphasize that with a low porch roof element and a dominant gable in the middle of that building type.
This building type is along the western and southern edge of the project, as well as two buildings at the northwest corner.
So residential was easy, and then we go to shopkeeper. There was a certain want, I guess, to say that the shopkeepers have sort of a design statement that did have a little more breakup to them, so that there was a little more individuality. At the same time, though, what we wanted to do was create horizontal. Oops.
There we go.
So you can see, still
we're just,
using
we're
that.
We're just playing with the people at home, apparently. I have no idea.
And we heard that very clearly last time, was that your shopkeepers have to stand out. So the easiest way that we saw was residential has a roof and the shopkeepers have parapet. That's it. But with the kit of parts and the color palette that we're looking at, we can still sort of integrate it into one overall project. So we did sort of make it a little more break up into individual feeling, and we can talk about that. And we're actually here to listen to you guys again because we want to always make the project better. But we added some lower elements here that sort of created this band here that created a shopkeeper definition with units above, and also a horizontal element that softened corners as you're going and wrapping around that threeplex building. We redesigned the plan so that the stucco elements were recessed so that we had a more vertical scale, and that vertical scale all sort of really ties in with the third elevation style, which is the live-work. So if we think conceptually, we have residential on one side, we have shopkeeper on the other, live works in the middle, part live, part work. So we are combining, so to speak, those two design styles, again, with the overall color palette. This now has emphasis points here, which is similar to the shopkeeper, but the roof, it's not a dominant roof, but it is a roof that sort of harkens to the residential design character. A little more overall consistency in the color palette and the color design of the building. The residential has more breakup to it. This one's more consistent. This is definitely, to me, again, and feedback, it's one design statement for the building. There are emphasis points for your front doors, and we're creating variety there where we have different colors and things and emphasizing that with the siding. But we are more consistent, so hopefully we have those three different styles, and we are providing that sort of variety at the same time. Giving that sort of cohesiveness through the overall site. There was a note on the shopkeeper sound mentioned last time. The sound study says 42-inch solid wall on the front elevations. We'll take care of the sound issues on that.
Yeah, so one of the comments was show how the sound issues that are identified in the mitigated neg deck are going to be satisfied for the shopkeeper units that are facing Kellogg Avenue. So that is... the best example is that white balcony right there. So those will be solid, 42 inches tall, and that satisfies the sound requirement. So we're not talking about putting up a glass face.
Right.
Rolls from the first comment, which is the roofs should define the building types. And I think that's what Jeff was just describing.
Also, we were a 35-foot height limit. We determined how that was by code, and we are complying with that. Also requested were street view sketches or composite elevations of Equal, which we are proposing right now would look potentially something like this. We're looking at sort of a design statement that's consistent and an individual color palette for each one of the buildings. Now you can see with this entrance here why we sort of softened the corners here with the shopkeeper units to have that one-story sort of edge, and then that emphasis point on the residential buildings are sort of tucked in the back there. Those are sort of framing the view into the project itself, and that's why we designed the smaller one-story porch wraparounds that sort of, again, give that sort of bring you into the community.
Do you have a site plan?
Sure. It's a nice
stick in and out here color just for...
Sure.
That one's fine. So that is over here.
That's correct. So we took part of this area over here, buried the colors, and then these are the two buildings.
These are the two buildings that are grayed out in the back.
Correct.
OK.
Okay.
Looking further down this, mm-hmm. you'd be looking into
community
space. Community space, exactly.
And that's why we designed the community center here as an emphasis point here. So we use the roof theme with the pop-up of the sort of the parapet element centered online with that sort of statement there. I guess we didn't get a chance to get that in because it is pretty far back. And so by the time you have landscaping and everything, that's going to be smaller to see. And so, but it is centered. We did a dominant roof to sort of give that roof character, but have that emphasis point there too. And that was another.
So we'll one of the, there were a number of comments about the site plan. I think this also rolls into the site plan. So we'll finish up our, the comments that we got on the elevations. So we have the street view from Equal, which we just looked at. Oh, I'm sorry. We have the street view from Equal that we just looked at. And now we'll take a look at the Kellogg Avenue elevation. This is the entrance with the shopkeeper buildings. That's right.
And so we sort of sketched in that the building that's there, and we're proposing, well, we'll go into the site plan and how we're doing it, but this is going to have a very special corner right now, and that's going to tie in with the flood wall, the architecture and the landscape is all going to tie all together. So what's shown on the sort of the Kellogg Street scene is sort of the entry here with the building in the back, emphasized, the side landscaping and that garden that we're proposing, and then a shopkeeper unit again with the one-story edge, and sort of that builds over to the in the site plan itself.
One thing to point out on this elevation, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but those small walls in front of these units are part of the flood wall that we have to design and we have to potentially build. It has to do with the timing of when FEMA approvals happen and the Hollister Bridge improvements happen. We're hoping the Hollister Bridge improvements are done in time so that we don't have to build the flood wall, but we're designing it and showing it to you now in case we do. So that's a 4-foot-tall flood wall, and then in between them, we found a product which is essentially a flood board, which you can drop in between these, and it serves as the flood wall. So this is the design of what we're sending to FEMA for their approval.
So these are 4-foot-high walls?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it continues all the way along the front of the project. There would be a floodgate that comes up where the cars drive through as well.
It runs along up all the way up here too?
Correct.
Does it turn the corner here?
No.
I know you're not responsible. I'd love to ask who is, what's the point, but that's okay.
Okay. Happy to explain.
The Red Sea phenomenon.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So that's part. We can also touch on that when we talk about the wall materials. No, there are no flood walls along Equal. So, right, it only would run down. It would run down what's now Kellogg Way, but that would essentially be a backyard wall, and it would be the first 4 feet would be retaining for flood wall, and then there would be some sort of a wood privacy fence above that.
Right.
And then it would transition in front of the shopkeeper units. We need to design a wall that's permeable so that people can access through it, and you don't effectively block off the front of the shopkeeper units with a 4-foot-tall wall. So we found a product that we can put between the 4-foot walls, which is a board that's structural that you can slide down in the event of a flood. We hope that the Hollister Avenue Bridge improvements will be complete and we won't have to build this, but in case we do, it will affect the design of the project.
Does the Homeowners Association get involved in deploying the flood wall appropriately at the right time?
Yes. Yes. There are a couple of components to it. There's a flood gate that comes up at the entrance. There would be a protocol. Next item is the one more question came up about the elevation along the alleys. So the alley being, you know, where two garages back up to one another. Right, exactly. So we did not have time to elevate that, but what we did bring is the building plans that just show the articulation at the back of the buildings to explain that these will be four-sided architecture, lots of articulation along the back of the building. It's not just a flat plane, you know, garage to garage.
That's right. pretty much what I was going to say. Four-sided, I mean, we're taking the ideas and the themes on the fronts, and we're going to wrap that around the sides and the rears. A lot of times, we just have a straight line. So we've already, for here in this site, is to push elements in, pulled elements out. You can see even on the second and third floors, there's that play of massing that changes around to give an appropriate location where siding would stop and terminate.
There's also planting pockets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last, we talked about the community building a little bit, was the bike storage, and we had an elevation, and we sort of partial one that we did previously, and we sort of upgraded that and made some more design statement to the overall bike layout and how that sort of fit in and tucked in with the live-work unit that's on the place, and that's right in upside down this location. I think that's the architectural component that I was going to talk about. Go in the site plan.
All right. Another comment was look at adding additional two-story units. So we're now we have designed a total of eight two-story units into the project, and those are, where do we have the plan that shows that?
Flipping.
Sorry. We had one that shaded it.
We did have one. Landscape. Oh, here's. Sorry, it's on the architectural site plan.
All right.
Forgive me.
So each of the plans shown that are shaded will be two-story structure.
Okay.
All right. Then there's another comment about just reviewing how the project would connect to the future bridge over the old San Jose Creek, connecting to potentially or to the new community center. And so that is essentially just the sidewalks, I think, are an access point to cross the street. And that's a part of the property to the north of what will be Equal Street is something that this project is dedicating to the city. So we're sort of making an assumption that that's where the path would go. I think we, until we know exactly where that path is going to go, we can't do much more than that. All right, really quickly, looking through the unit plans, the comments we heard are consider more two-story units, which we just addressed. A paving and hardscaping plan should show how the walking path is indicated on the garage side of the circulation for the driveway, which is indicated on the landscape plan. It's just a different colored concrete that runs behind all of the buildings around the perimeter. Showing garage side landscape pockets to soften the effect of these shorter entrances. And so again, those are shown on the plan, and landscape pockets at every garage door throughout the project. There is a comment to show the 10-foot setback rear yards, how those work from a landscape perspective along the western and southern edges. We did two things in this regard. One is on the landscape plan, you'll see we called out 6-foot high wood fences to basically create the side yards behind those units. And we are also, we haven't designed the back yards of those because they will be essentially an option that somebody would purchase. But one thing that we will include, which is on the landscape palette, is we will include, one of the buyer options will be a 48-inch box tree to place somewhere along that back wall. It comes up later in terms of privacy with some of those buildings to the south and to the west. Right.
Can I jump in? They're actually 12 feet. If you look at the site plan, there's lots of in and outs going on throughout each one of the building types, as we just showed on the sixplex in the alley condition. But one of the things we didn't go to that 10-foot setback because if you look at the architectural site plan, we reduced that, but pushed it into 12 feet. So that gives us a 10-foot setback to any pop-outs or elements that we want to bring to the ground. So even though we haven't drawn that yet, we understand that we're going to need that extra 2 feet to give
you
that articulation.
2 feet
to play with. 2 feet of articulation. Right. And we are still looking at those plans to be able to in and out that also.
All right. And then the last comment in terms of the unit plans was just review the trash needs for the shopkeeper units. So I think in our original in the submittal that you should have received last week, if you look at the plans for the shopkeeper units, there are actually four trash cans in the garages for the shopkeepers now, two for the shopkeeper unit and two for the resident.
We designed all the garages to have additional room for storage and also the trash enclosures and the trash bins, and the shopkeepers have even more room because of the width. They have extra room.
All right. So actually, while we're, is there any, at this point, we've talked about the elevations, we've talked about the unit plans themselves. Are there any, should we stop now, and are there any comments or questions so far? Or I can keep going.
Looks like you're keeping going.
All right. So I think one of the most instructive comments for us from last meeting was the concept of bringing all the community elements together in the center of the project. So, you know, we had a, and it was, I think, really the tot lot and that family activity happening where we're currently showing a different use, which is a bocce ball court. And so that was actually the very first sort of organizing comment that we started with and looked at pulling all the community activity into the center of the project and also designing the community building so that it interacts with all that. So now in the center of the project, which is on the site plan, and you can see number, it starts at number 14 on the west side, which is basically an activity mound, if you will. It's a grass mound that you can build, you know, some sort of concrete, small concrete piers out of that, you know, people can sit on. Kids love to jump on them and, you know, try to balance on them. You can do outdoor activities where people are sitting on the mound and, you know, watching people do stuff or, you know, music. Then moving to the east, item number 13 is an outdoor kitchen. So that would be a large outdoor barbecue and cooking space and food preparation space. Item number 24 is the community building. So it's no longer attached. Before, previously it was attached to building number 22. So now it's a freestanding building. And do we have, I'm gonna throw the plans up of that?
Yeah. We've got plans all over the place, right, sir.
Nope.
What are you looking for? The plan of the
community building. I had it and we presented it on the Village Center. Oh, there it is. Yeah. We showed it originally.
So I think the significance of this building is, first of all, we're thinking of the activities that can take place in this building. And I think maybe the first thing to start with is just the fact that it's designed as essentially what can be a pass-through open space. So it's going to have very large accordion glass doors that can slide sideways both directions on both sides. And if you look at how it's oriented, it basically creates a passageway between this live-work plaza and the community space for the residents. Or you can close one side and have it face out towards the live work, and it, you know, can become a place to feature products or services. You can close the other side and it can really focus on the residential space. So a lot of different ways to use it. And we also did not program it with anything other than a bathroom and a very large fireplace. And again, the fireplace is maybe even something that you could see at night when it's on from the entrance at Equal. You'd be looking straight down the middle through glass on the north side of the building, and with a large flat screen television above it. So it's meant to be a gathering space, and it's also meant to be a space that, you know, day one can be used for whatever we think it's going to be used for, whether it's, you know, hosting events that some of the live work operators are, you know, participating in, whether it's a food or a service or something like that. But I think the other thing we wanted to do is just let the room become whatever the association thinks it should become. So at some point, if they want to fill it with, you know, video games, or if they want to fill it with exercise equipment, it doesn't have anything in it that would require, you know, major construction to do that. And then across item number 15 on the site plan is another outdoor gathering space with an outdoor fireplace and seating and a small pathway that kind of creates a connection between buildings 30 and 38.
Question for you on
the
Village Center. How deep is the overhang? Like, could people be sitting in chairs out on the porch and still be part of the meeting that was occurring inside?
Absolutely. That's the whole in design intent, is that it spans out and creates additional seating and additional area that you can gather.
So it's like an additional six?
It's at least 6 feet. It looks about 8 feet to the overhang itself. Maybe even 10 with the overhang.
Maybe even 10,
yeah. If it was to scale.
8 feet. Well, 8 feet to the dotted line.
Do you anticipate any issues with residents who might be sited very close to the village center in terms of noise or barbecue smells?
Sure. I mean, that's something that the CCNRs, and then once the associations start to operate, really some of the guidelines that the community develops. But I think, you know, that's something we could start with today in terms of just looking at a condition that limits the activity in that community room, you know, doors closed at 10 p.m. or 8 p.m. or whatever sounds, you know, reasonable. But it ends up being, when we do live-work projects or projects with a commercial component, we have to design we have to write the CCNRs that allows the commercial activities to operate so they're not too restricted, but also, obviously, you know, noise and odor are the two things that we have to deal with on the commercial side. So it would just become part of the CCNRs that the association would manage.
And whatever you can do to build in natural buffers, whether it's landscaping or siting, barbecues away from where there might be the closest open windows.
Oh, I see. So you're thinking of odors from cooking, mm-hmm. right?
Is that possible?
I don't...
Grills or barbecues or anything out in the
community? Pardon me?
Will there be grills or barbecues or anything?
There would be, number 13 would have a large outdoor grill. Yeah, so, item number 13.
What's that? I mean, it's pretty common for large residential projects to have barbecues actually even distributed throughout the site. So I've actually never heard anybody ask that question about that. But I think Ben's right, is that you're going to have to deal with that through the HOA and any kind of CCNRs that are developed with it, just about controlling the hours of that happening.
Yeah, and I think there's,
your neighbors might have a barbecue outside that you can't control, right? You know, my neighbors barbecue every weekend, and it doesn't bother me, but it's part of living in a community, yeah.
So a few more thoughts on that is, it is set back from the building somewhat. You know, it looks like it's roughly 10 feet away from the closest building. It's got a wall backing up to it. Okay. And, you know, presumably if it's a windy day, you know, maybe it'll be something great. You'd want to smell it. You want to go meet your neighbor. So the things, and then that was actually, you know, again, I think one of the most instructive comments, because it really helped us organize everything. And we think we've created really a dynamic space right in the center that... We also looked at turning building 24 sideways, and so it was sort of wasn't as obtrusive, you know, in this center area, but we figured it would be better to, as Jeff was describing, build a smaller building with a very large roof overhang and actually let it create a little bit of a separation between the two type of activities, but again, something that you can just throw these big glass doors open and it really becomes one big space. And then finally, the location of the covered bike storage, it's all part of it, so, you know, everything's in one place. Things are more secure when you have more people looking at them. So I think it would be the sort of place that somebody would want to, you know, park a nice bike for the day.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a clarification, please? This is graphically the awning area in the community room is shown in brown, as are 13, 15, and 6. So I'm confused about what's covered and what's uncovered. So 6, the bike parking part of it is covered. The awning or the overhang on the center, 24, mm-hmm. that's covered, but 13 and 15, those are not covered.
No, right? You're correct. So just for the record, thank you for pointing that out. Number 13 and number 15 are not covered. Those are just, those colors are sort of showing them as community space. Number 6 is completely covered, so that's a covered bike storage area. Mm-hmm. And then number 24, that everything brown and red is all under a roof, right? We did decide to leave the swimming pool where it was. It's such a large space, the next page shows a circulation plan, which, you know, it seems like there's a fairly direct route from, you know, any place in the community to the swimming pool, and it wouldn't be hopefully too out of a walk. And then we added where we had a tot lot, item number 16, is we did want to leave an amenity in that space, so that's going to be 2 bocce ball courts that were built there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, of course. How could I forget that? Finally, I was going to get to the community garden, but since we're here, number 4 you'll see in the southeast corner, we you know, the comment was, let's not make the community garden an afterthought and just put it, you know, someplace, wherever. So we actually decided to bring it to the entrance of the project, and we will build a small shed in that. And that's in the elevation you saw of Kellogg Avenue. It kind of shows that in the background, kind of a concept of that. So this is the idea we talked about last time, where if you are, you know, if you have some gardening equipment, that's appropriate to have a covered building there where you can leave some things that you wouldn't want to carry back and forth, you know, whether it's soil or tools for gardening. So that would be a community garden at the entrance to the project. Another comment was, consider the location of the four-bedroom units near the community amenities. We actually, almost all of these units, with the exception of the two-story units and the live-work units, could be a four-bedroom unit. That's part of the option of the building. So there's really sort of four-bedroom options throughout the project. We showed last time some marker units on Kellogg Avenue, a slightly larger unit to kind of signify the entrance, and we didn't feel that there was a whole lot of excitement about that, so we took them off. And those are just showing, that's, again, the elevation that you saw of Kellogg Avenue with the shopkeeper units.
Ben, can I have you clarify, are the four-bedroom units identified, or are you saying there's flexibility for other four-bedroom units?
There are flexibility for four-bedroom units.
So will that change parking?
It does not. We checked that. It does not. The fourth bedroom does not change the parking requirement.
Okay.
Yeah. Another comment was align the gazebo and pool building with the entrance to create an announcement at the Kellogg Avenue entrance, which we have done. A question came up about the distance between the buildings to the south and to the west, and what can we do about mitigating the close proximity and, you know, to those for bedroom and living space windows. So that's where the suggestion or the idea came up to just option a large tree that would be an option for the home buyer. So if they're concerned about privacy, you know, we'll offer that as an option. But the distance is roughly the closest point to the south. On the western side, the closest point is about 40 feet. And on the southern side, the closest point is about 60 feet, building to building. Comment came up about the community space, ideal for watching the Super Bowl, HOA meetings, keep the accordion doors. And so we've done all those things. And the MEP for that building will be set up for, you know, large format audio and video. The board thought that it was okay to remove the trash containers, but show details of the trash. So we've, again, shown the trash cans in the garages, and we don't have a copy of it here, but we actually got a site plan with a location of all where the trash cans would go for trash pickup day, and it's it was signed by Marborg, right, the trash operator. Mm-hmm. So they've seen the plan, and they're fine with that. So another comment? Yes?
Before you leave that, meaning... So these, like, building 27, right, who
Correct.
Has all these, they're off an alley.
Mm-hmm.
So all those, somehow, wherever you designated, they're going to roll their garbage to Marborg, signed off on. And
mm-hmm. I mean, essentially,
I don't know if it's in the alley or not.
It is. It's okay. Essentially, you can open up your garage door and move your cans out and close your garage door, and they'll pick up from both sides of those drive aisles.
Yeah. Just because it's making me think, I guess. Does that mean when on trash day that the fire department's okay with the fact that all those dumpsters are out there? Not that they couldn't drive over them or through them or push them out of the way.
We'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether they're going to have an issue with that coming out from both sides on the same day
right,
or not.
Right.
A lot of times they don't want to drive down the alleys, but...
Well, that'd be my guess, too. I'd be, you know, that's going to be kind of their last resort is going
sure.
down that alley from
sure.
a fire standpoint.
Yeah.
But
we'll follow up
just
on that.
Up on
no, that's a good question. Another comment was, look at the exclusive use areas possibly for gardening or pet areas. So we added, you know, the community garden to the southeast corner with the shed. And we also have a pet area. It is, I'm going to point that out, Jeff. It's right... Number seven. So that'll be just an open lawn area for somebody mm-hmm. to go walk a pet.
Does the flood wall continue across in front of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
We wouldn't build it if we didn't have to.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it can be taken out at some point if necessary. But.
Yeah. Another comment, just look at covered secure bike storage, so we've addressed that. We need to program the former community space area where the community space was, so that's shown, that's item number 15 on the landscape plan. Study the alleys to push and pull the units to provide interest on the garage side of the buildings. Jeff's described that. Next, and I guess our last sort of area of comments was for landscape. Show the percentage of landscape area, including common and private. So we've included a calculation of the private and public open space. And so we actually have increased the overall landscape area to slightly above 23%. We had a lot of conversations, I think, last meeting about how to treat the walkways between the buildings. We had before a plan showing some very, very large private front yards and really squeezed in some sidewalks in between. So we, and I think a suggestion was made to look at the Venice Walk Streets as examples of great places that you'd want to circulate through and meet neighbors and that sort of thing. So we came up with a design that essentially brought the private front yards back, created a space in between the front yards. You can see on the landscape plan, the number, they're all labeled number 12, that has a central walkway that goes about halfway between the buildings. It hits a small... I'm not sure, it's not a plaza, it's not big enough to be a plaza, but the sidewalk widens to maybe 8 feet wide and then sort of shifts the alignment of the sidewalk to the other side of that end, of that opening, with trees on either side. And if you, there's actually a section of it that would show how it works. In the landscape imagery, I think it's at the back of the plan that was submitted, there is... that guy. So this image, that's actually one of the Venice Walk Streets right there. And I, what it, what this is showing, the way we looked at it is it's essentially is a pretty basic sidewalk. There's, the sidewalk isn't really an enhanced sidewalk, but what it does is it creates some landscape buffer between the private open space for those people who live on the walk, so you don't have people walking right next to your yard. But it's low enough that it, there's still a lot of, you know, transparency and just, you know, visual corridors back and forth. So what we didn't want to do, we could recreate that, but it would mean putting fences on the sidewalk, and then to make sure all of the shrubs are maintained on the inside, you have homeowner association managing property inside of fences, which just sounded difficult. So instead, we just switched it, put the fences to the outside, and low shrubs to the inside. What am I missing? All right. Also, a lot of comments, or I, maybe it weren't a lot of comments, but just a few very strong comments about the landscaping in the, we're not calling Paseo, the urban plaza between all the live-work buildings. So we've removed all of the trees, if you look at the landscape plan. We have a few small potted plants, and these are just, you know, to leave a little bit of life in those corridors. We're looking at some different tones of paving, and we're also looking at some built-in bench seating that would have lights underneath. So that's also shown in the landscape plan. It's this thing right here. Yeah. Without the trees. Another comment, or I think this is a requirement of the design review board, is to show a lighting plan, an irrigation plan, and some irrigation calculations. And so we actually just got these printed because I forgot to print them earlier. So they would have been part of the submittal set. And thanks to Ryan for printing all these. So these are examples, first of all, I'll just pass these out, of LED backlit numbering. So these are our address signage. This is lighting for all of the live-work plaza area underneath all the bench seating.
The packages that were larger, mm-hmm. I printed the covers. Actually, that's perfect. One copy of the entire catalog.
These would be the landscape lighting style throughout the project, if you could pass those out. And then this is a design for the streetlights. And we did submit a photometric plan that has all of the photometric data for all the lighting across the project.
Which machine is that?
Did you get a copy of the photometric plan, Mary? Didn't. Yeah, that was part of what came with all of these. Let's do this. Maybe we should just finish the presentation. We have created the photometric plan. It does cover at least one candle foot across the entire site, and it does include specific locations of lighting. Don't have the plan with us right now, but we can get it. Oh, yeah, sorry. And then this is some additional lighting that would go in actually throughout the site.
Height of these as we go around the site.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not going over 30, so 8, 10, 12, 15.
Probably on the order of 10 to 12 feet. And they were selected partly, again, because the lighting requirements for this particular, it's probably similar throughout the city of Goleta, but certainly for this particular project, it's just nothing that casts light upwards. All the light is cast downwards. So that's what that fixture does.
Question. Yeah. What's the difference between, or where are the different standards located? The Philips Lunec is there, and then there's these other ones. The Phillips Garden Club.
You know, I think we'd have to have a plan that shows where all those goes. But this is just to show you sort of the design style of the lighting fixture we're looking at. It's something that is, you know, a contemporary take on what would look like a more traditional light, and that's sort of in keeping with the design of the buildings. Another comment was to review the material for all the perimeter walls. So on the landscape plan, we've called out the material for all of the perimeter walls. And essentially it's on the south and west side, it's a block wall. And on the east side, as we described earlier, where we have to build the 4-foot retaining flood wall, it would be a 4-foot retaining wall with a 3-foot privacy fence on top of that for buildings 15 and 16, and then once it turns the corners for the shopkeeper, it goes down to that broken-up 4-foot flood wall with the floodboards.
Will there be plantings in front of the 4-foot stucco flood wall? Or will that just be
visible
from the 217, this continuous flood wall?
I think at this point it's just the flood wall.
It's plaster.
Yeah.
It's plaster, and it's broken up by entrances, mm-hmm. So it's not just one continuous wall.
And even though this whole right-of-way realignment thing is happening, I'm guessing that this is not outside that line, so this little area here is technically city because it's in their right-of-way?
I think that's correct, but it might be part of that neighbor's property, actually, because what's going to happen is, I'll show you. There's going to be a driveway that comes down here, and there's going to be basically a driveway that comes down, and then they're going to get access off of it. So this may end up being.
May go away. Okay, so it may be part of their private. Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what yours. I recall. We know it's not ours, yeah.
But essentially, we would, wherever the wall is adjacent to other private property, then it would be essentially 4 foot of retaining wall with 3 foot of privacy fence on top of that, so 7 feet tall. And once it's adjacent to public property, it drops down to that 3-4 foot flood wall.
Okay.
Just a few more comments here on the landscape plan, including fruit trees in the planting palette. So fruit trees would be part of what we're planting at the very front of the community garden area. Study the landscape to laundry the landscape concepts. So we actually got a lot of detail on this, but what we've found is that It really requires everybody to participate in it because it would have to be installed under all of the foundations, and because these are connected buildings, they're, you know, attached buildings, you would have some people that might have that system that wouldn't want to use it. And so we have decided against trying to install and include it in this.
Could it be used for just the private landscape areas, or sleeved, so that if the owner wanted to use it for their private landscape area, it could be?
We'd have to pre-plumb it. I mean, we can do anything.
I understand.
It's probably not something that we would want to include.
Yeah. I understand about the common area.
But. Yeah. But we did, you know, look into I think the question came up last time of using reclaimed and recycled water, and it is in fact, you know, a condition of the project, and we will comply with the condition of the project. So all of this will be set up for the use of reclaimed water and the plant pallet, which we have we did get a description of all the plants for the plant pallet, are all chosen so that they could work on reclaimed water as well. And then finally, a comment was made to see if we can repurpose some of this soil from this farm into the community garden. So that we will certainly do. All right. So that's everything that we heard. This is how we have, done our best to address it. And we would love to hear any comments or questions.
Okay. Anybody? Aaron?
Just a small comment with the play mound. I know at the zoo they have one in, and that has almost usurped the animals in the children's minds when I've been around there. Mm-hmm. So you add a piece of cardboard and it turns into quite a slide servicing 30 children simultaneously. So looking at how the zoo did it, mm-hmm. might be a tip.
Right. Dennis?
Sure. Two comments, one small. At the community garden, you've chosen a great location on the site for good sun exposure. Wouldn't compromise that with the trees that might shade those plots mm-hmm. around it.
Okay.
And then the other one, a bit larger, I really like what you've done at the Village Center and how the views from Equil Street are framed by the entry sequences mm-hmm. of buildings. I would encourage you to look at increasing the vertical height of that building, as I think it might be a little lost as you're looking in there.
Of the Village Center?
Of the Village Center, okay. As it would, hierarchically, it would look like a more important building, and I think just aesthetically, it would look better with maybe not quite another half story, but I get the sense you know what I'm talking
yes.
about.
Anyone else?
I'll jump in. Okay. I think you've come a long way. The architecture is really looking nice, particularly on along Kellogg and Elkwell. I think those buildings are very successful. The live-work homes maybe could have a little more color interest. Maybe add one more color in there, as well as the live-work townhomes and the 2 and 3 story townhomes. Could have a little more interest. I think the other buildings are very successful. The central core area where the common area clubhouse is located, I think could have maybe some special paving, make it unique there, because that really is the core area of the project. I'm a little confused about those walls that are in the lawn mound, what those are for. So maybe more detail on those, or I'm just a little confused on those.
Mm-hmm.
The slump block specification for the perimeter walls.
I guess slump block is acceptable. I don't know. I'd like to see maybe more a precision block or a split face or something a little more higher quality than slump stone. You addressed the reclaimed water, so I think the gray water, if you can do it for private homes, great. But if it's all unreclaimed, then bravo. The landscape documents, they're very nice. I just think we're not quite at the level of detail on the landscaping for project design approval. But I don't have anything really bad to say about it. I just think that we need more detail on the landscape plans.
Mm-hmm. Also, I didn't get to, you might have seen this in the package we just delivered, but the last page of what we delivered today has the planting palette in it.
I did see that, okay. And that looks pretty good generally.
Great. Thank you.
One plant on there, the podocarpus, it's not one of my favorite trees. It's very messy, and so I'd encourage you to not use that.
No podocarpus.
Just a little nitpicky. So those are my comments.
Great.
May I don't have any comments.
Okay, I'm just going to reiterate what's been said. First off, I think you guys have done a very good job. Mm-hmm. So appreciate that. From a design standpoint, I would agree with Dennis relative to his height comment on the Village Center. It feels a little lost, and I think some kind of higher element would help. And I would reiterate Aaron's comment about enhanced paving around the plaza area. And I would go so far, well, I guess I'm back to here across the Equil thing. And that was my comment from the last time, because as you cross Equil here, that's where you're going to cross over into something. But eventually there's hopefully going to be a bridge that crosses San Jose Creek there. So maybe that enhanced paving also happens here.
Mm-hmm.
That starts to kind of create something, some connection there. Other than that, I think it's well done. I would like to see the lighting. So I'm not sure how we...
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure how... how we proceed from here. And you'd still like to see, well, oh, I know, we're actually missing the elevations for the, what I would call the alley elevations, right? Or the back ends of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're missing those, and we're missing a little more detailed landscape plan, right?
I had a question. Will there be an overall sign plan associated with this?
Yes, that'll be a separate review process.
So I guess I'm looking at a continuance, not that, I mean, obviously we don't have a lot of comments, so I wouldn't necessarily want to hold you up from proceeding on certain things, but I think just because we're missing a couple of pieces,
sure, of
that
course.
We'd like you to come back for those, if
yeah.
nothing else.
Sure.
Can you do it in 2 weeks?
Absolutely.
I have a comment and a question. So I would agree with all the comments that have been made, especially the live-work townhome building. I think that some color blocking, I understand that has a theme of its own, and yet even some more moderate color variation possibly would give a little bit more life to that building. It could still maintain more of its character without having the kind of color variation that the other buildings have, but I want to reiterate that. And then my question is, do you guys need some direction in terms of what kind of detail we're looking for in the landscape plan? Are you clear with... It's basically plant, you know, quantities,
sure.
Call-outs,
yeah,
location, an actual irrigation plan, I think. Is there anything else, Aaron, that you...
I think Yeah, just a final planting plan and irrigation plan.
Right.
Hardscape details.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, this was this has just been an exercise of sort of figuring out what worked from the last presentation, what we were going to change, and then as Jeff can probably better describe, his team has just been running like crazy to try to get all this stuff done. So, you know, we would absolutely provide a planting plan with the landscape lighting on it, photometric plan obviously required, irrigation plan required. So, yeah, we can bring this.
And you really want to commit to 2 weeks?
I know you do, but this
is the question.
Well, I think your team has less to do. I think it's
Yvonne's
team.
We have the back elevations do a sample of what those alley conditions would look like. We do have the alley for that drive aisle, but that's right. Pretty important. But we're talking about something down here, so what that looks like from a two-dimensional point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The community building, study that a little bit, and then colors, variation, blocking on the live work is what I heard.
I mean, if you can bring the plans to the hearing, you could probably do it in 2 weeks if you have to submit in advance.
Well, we do have to upload it on the website.
And how far in
advance? That would be next Wednesday morning.
So that's
maybe till next Wednesday at noon.
Yeah, because our next meeting is technically the 8th, right?
Right. Yeah.
I'm not doing it, so
I just have to check the dates.
I'd opt for the next
what day of the week.
Well, here's an option.
Tuesday.
It's the day of the meeting.
Right, so it's the first Tuesday, March 1st?
And the
no,
plan?
Second.
Tuesday, second and fourth.
8th, or the next meeting would be the
23rd.
Or we can absolutely make the 8th.
But remember, the plans have to be submitted
next Wednesday in advance.
What we can do is if you have a package that we can upload, and then there's the final details that you can bring, that's acceptable.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm on his side. I mean, I know you want to get there and you want to get approval. Is it too? I mean...
Well, were there other comments too? I wasn't sure if there.
No, I think that's going to be it. So.
Okay, here's an option, Mr. Chair, that you can continue it to March 8th, and if they're
not ready, you can continue it
to the 23rd.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I also, maybe this is just sort of an open question for you, Mary, and for the board, for our process, the most important thing is that the driveways don't move because the grading plan's already in process.
Mm-hmm.
And if that changes, that's a big problem.
Meaning the driveways,
just the
driveway
circulation plan,
or the circulation,
the whole thing.
Is all
so that it seems like there aren't any comments to that. The location of the buildings and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We can look at the community areas, but that sort of like critical path. That's step one. Mm-hmm. Step two is the building locations. If they look good, then we can kick. I think we can. This is a question, and I will not hold you to the answer. It just helps me understand where we're at. Is if the buildings aren't going to change, then that also means that we can start on design development for the buildings. Understanding we still have to come back with color, you know, blocking.
I mean, my take on it is just based upon the comments is if we were in our old design system, we'd be giving you preliminary approval and letting you go to working drawing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. So I don't see any reason why you couldn't do that.
And I. Well, we'll see next Wednesday, but I feel pretty confident that we can bring back planting plan, irrigation plan, lighting plan, photometric plan, and the colored elevations, and the alley elevation. Right, Jeff?
The alley elevations are important because that means if those look good, then the buildings don't move anywhere. The circulation is locked down.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just the last piece we haven't really seen.
Sure.
It's just kind of in my imagination what it looks like as you walk through this project.
Absolutely.
All right.
We're good?
If we have a moment, I'd love to just reiterate what we just heard to make sure that we've captured everything so we can, knock on wood, we have one more meeting here. So it sounds like adding additional color interest, and we'll just study the color of the live-work buildings. We need to elevate the alleys as an example between buildings 23 and 24. One side, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at which zoo is it that had a
Santa Barbara
Zoo. So we'll look at that as sort of like a good example, and that may resolve the question of the, you know, what are those little beams or walls? Do they have those, or is it just a mound?
It's just a mound.
I think it's
okay.
Just a
so
mound.
Maybe it's just a mound.
There's some trees.
Okay, so we'll look at that.
Maybe a different scale than what you've got too.
Yeah.
For the community garden, we're going to make sure that the trees don't obscure sun coming to the community garden. And no podocarpus, no slumstone, enhanced paving to the that would indicate a path to the creek, and adding additional paving or enhanced paving around the central common area to make sure that's highlighted.
And also the height, a little more emphasis on the community center.
Absolutely. The height of the village center. We'll absolutely study that. And that is what I wrote down. Is there anything else?
The photometric plan, sure, the landscape plan, the irrigation plan.
Yes. Lighting plan with photometrics, landscape plan with irrigation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
The paving at the Echo entrance. Did you
The enhanced paving.
Yeah. All right.
Unfortunately, you are not the one that can make the motion. Does somebody want
to? I'm happy to, if anybody wants to use these.
There's
a little bit.
Not a motion, though, right? I mean, we're just
continuing. Yeah. Oh, well, we have to move to continue.
Yeah.
I move to continue with those comments.
Okay.
Or should I repeat them?
No.
Seconded.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
March.
To March 8th.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good job. And we are going to take a little 4 minute break.
Do we need to bring? Sorry, I don't know if we're like out of session. Do you want to look at this now? Do you guys need to see materials?
Well, we will. We probably need to look at. We can either leave it here or bring it back next time.
Leave it
so
here.
We can see it next time.
Okay, bring it back. Okay,
yeah,
right.
She'd rather you bring it back.
You'd rather leave it in your office, Mary.
My heart is young and eager to fly. I'll give my heart a try, I'll take romance. Yes, I'll take romance while my arms are strong and eager for you. I'll give my arms their key, I'll take romance. So my lover, when you want me, call me in the hush of the evening.
Okay, we're going to call the Design Review Board meeting back to order, and we are going on to our discussion item. Go ahead.
Okay, item H1 is the review of the draft zoning ordinance, Part 2, base zoning districts, and Part 4, regulations applying to multiple districts and signs.
Okay, here we go.
We had improperly noticed the remainder of the base district. So let's start with 1708. That is on page 2-20, where the design elements start. If there are any other comments within that chapter, I'm happy to take them.
Is that turned down?
Yeah. But otherwise, that's sort of what we're...
Oh, sorry. It looked like it was on from where I was sitting. Okay. So, unless you wanted to take public comment in advance.
I'm here for signs. She's here for signs, so I would say no until we get to that point.
All right.
Okay. So, we're going to, I guess, try this the same way we did last time, mm-hmm. page by page?
Exactly.
Okay. So, we're on chapter 1708, commercial, I hate that word, I've crossed it out, put zones.
It's the forever architect versus planner issue. Yep. Planner lawyer. So
who wants to, does anybody want to start? How about I'll just alternate from one end to the other. So we're going to start with Bill. Nope. No comments? Tom? Okay. I had, let's see, under the purposes of the commercial zone district, I guess it, when it says for a full range of residential and business serving commercial, it seems to me that
I'm
residential
sorry, Chair,
is wrong.
Chair, what page are you on?
Oh. 2-12. We there?
Thank you.
Sorry about that. That residential is wrong. Maybe we want to say mixed use, or and it seems to me since this is a commercial district, that's actually the purpose of the zone. So I'd actually flip it. So I'd move. I'd have it start with a full range of business serving commercial uses and services, then mixed use and something like that is what I would do.
Not necessarily mixed use, but multiple unit dwellings are allowed in the commercial zone. And that's okay. In our current code now. But okay. We can definitely flip it.
And I just flip it just, yeah, anyway. Let's see. And then on B, the last sentence when it starts, appropriate buffers and transitions to adjacent neighborhoods, seems to me it should say residential neighborhoods, just to be clear. And then on C, let's see here. I didn't understand what appropriate to the physical characteristics of the area meant.
It's a different way of using, instead of saying harmonious and compatible.
Ah. Okay. Everything else here. I guess I'm wondering about in CC, community commercial, mixed use, including residential development up to 12 units per acre. I guess I'm wondering, is that really going to be the limit? I'm guessing the project we just saw is more close to 20 as a mixed use, now, even though it's in, and I understand that's an old town overlay thing or whatever's going on there. I'm just guessing, I'm wondering if 12 units is really the limit there or not.
It is. That's the limit within the general plan.
Okay. And then on the very last page is, it seems to me that Goleta Old Town Heritage District Architecture Capitalized Design Guidelines, that's a document, right? So all
yes,
of that
it is.
Should be capitalized all the way through. That's all I got on that page. Aaron? Nope. Dennis? Nope, we're good. Next page, starting with visitor serving commercial. I didn't have anything there. Oh, I'm supposed to be starting with Dennis.
A question for staff. It seems like CG, general commercial, is just a general dumping ground for miscellaneous use. Am I inglorious in saying it that way?
Well, we never provide dumping grounds in the city of Goleta, but this is the widest variable category of uses, and it is consistent with the general plan designations for that area.
Come back the other way, Aaron? No. Greg? Nope. Aaron? Nope. I don't have anything.
Just to put it in context, the Westar project, would that be considered commercial, community commercial? Regional commercial?
I would have to look. Let me see if I've got that.
Because it is mixed use and...
Well, but it was different parcels. There were different parcels, so the residential was not part of the commercial.
It's a split zone parcel.
So it's a split zone.
So and I believe there. I think it may be CR. I'd have to look.
It's SC. Well, it's CC. Yeah, CC.
CC.
Okay.
For the new code.
Thank you.
So nothing else on that page. Okay. 214, which is continuation of the table. Bill, I didn't. Coming back to the way, Tom? No? Dennis?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Under emergency shelter, why wouldn't you have that in a visitor's center? It seems like an appropriate.
Well, it's visitor serving retail. Emergency shelter is. It's.
Just for residents, right?
No, it's not. It's not for residents. It's homeless. Let me pull that section.
Oh, I see. I was thinking of it in a different light. Thank you.
You're thinking in an actual emergency,
right.
Let's say fire or something
yes.
like that. But let me pull that definition.
Okay.
There's a requirement under state law that we provide areas for them. It's housing with minimal supportive services for homeless persons that is limited to an occupancy of 6 months or less. No individual or household may be denied emergency shelter because of an inability to pay.
Very good.
That's part of the health and safety code.
Thank you. Moving on then, under park and recreation facilities, seems like Old Town should have a designation of permitted for that rather than use not allowed. Am I reading that correctly?
The Old Town District is, is that, Andy, does that cover the entire Old Town or is that the Old Town Heritage Overlay?
The Old Town.
There's my point.
Yeah.
The commercial district is fairly limited to mostly right along Hollister with a few parcels going off of Hollister.
Right, so it doesn't include, it's not all of Old Town.
Okay.
It is just the area designated that those guidelines follow.
More or less the business district.
The business district.
All right. And then my last comment on this page is much more libertarian nature under commercial uses, adult-oriented businesses. Seems like Old Town would be a fine place for that. I mean, if one takes a more libertarian attitude toward it, what a great money generating rather than being sloughed off into the commercial CG district. But that is a very contentious point of view.
Well, we'll be sure to transmit that to the Planning Commission during public hearings.
Coming back down the way, Aaron? Nothing? Okay, nothing? Nope. I don't have anything. Tom? Bill? Nope. Yes? Nope. Okay. Next page, which continuation, 215. Bill? Anything?
Yep.
Nope. Tom? Nope. Me? Nope.
Nope.
No, no, no.
Dennis? Oh, sure. First line, automobile rentals. Seems like that should be permitted under visitor services, VS.
It's visitor serving.
Visitor
and
serving.
That
yes.
is, there's only one lot, well, actually a couple lots that are zoned that. One of them is where Old Town Village is being built. Well, in our old zoning, they got rezoned as part of their project approval.
So that just doesn't happen to be in a VS area, that one lot.
Correct.
Okay. And I still don't see why. Well, it could be a zoning change then if an alternative were asked for. What do you think? And then under banks and financial institutions, check cashing businesses, I don't understand why it would be in a CG district, the general commercial. Yeah, and not in some of the others, say CR or CC.
Okay.
Perhaps even permitted in CC. I would think that general commercial would be the last place that I would go to for check cashing, but. And then under cinemas, oh, it seems like Old Town would be a great place for a cinema. It's right now, it's use not allowed.
We have some specific general plan restrictions on where those would be allowed. And I'll take that note
yes.
that we're not making any general plan amendments as part of this code.
Okay. I realize that's a big parking
yeah.
challenge, but again, it seems like it could be a source of lifeblood for Old Town. And I'm good with that page.
Okay, so 216, continuation.
Just a quick question. Back on 1115, the restaurant takeout only, are you talking about something with a drive-up window or just?
Not necessarily.
The habit is takeout.
It's not takeout only,
no,
though.
No, it's not takeout
yeah.
only, but it's not. It's
like
not
Little Caesars?
Yeah.
Kiosk?
Yeah, it could be a kiosk. It's let me pull that definition.
Why? Well, this seems like something that could be in Old Town.
Restaurants where food or beverages are prepared on a customer demand basis and can be taken out or delivered, but are not consumed on the premises. No seating or other facilities for on-premises dining are provided.
So would it not be possible to make that a permitted thing in the Old Town area too?
We could certainly. I'll take that to Planning Commission.
Okay, 216, next page. We're with Dennis, I think. Coming back.
Sure. Under liquor store, it's permitted. Under, again, under general commercial, as stated here, just, whoops.
Sorry. It doesn't seem to be an appropriate use where it does not need a highly visible location, and the other uses here don't seem compatible with a liquor store. And then continuing live work units, I see no reason why they couldn't be conditional use permits for CR or CI designations. And then nurseries and garden centers, perhaps island feed and seed is not in that Old Town district, but I see no
pretty
reason
close.
Why.
Yeah, it's pretty close. If it's
pretty
not.
Close.
I'm sorry, what section? Where are you?
I jumped around. I'm okay. Sorry. I'm
216 nurseries and garden center, almost down at the bottom.
Yeah, okay. Two-thirds of the way down, okay. Under lodging and visitor services. It seems like nurseries and garden centers should be permitted in the OT district. That's all. And then finally, under offices, it seems like they all of those 1, 2, 3, 4, those three subcategories should be permitted in the CI intersection commercial. Is there some reason why they wouldn't be located at intersections? Is
it
that a parking
the
or public,
plan.
Public there, safety sort of thing?
So let me just go through real quickly. Our general plan, for whatever reason, has a very large use table of things that are and are not allowed within certain land use zones in the general plan or land use areas. And so because we're not doing any general plan amendments with this code at this time, mm-hmm. if it said no, we had to translate that over into okay. this code. I can't say whether that particular thing is, but there really aren't a lot of reasons where we would deny unless there was that conflict back with the general plan.
Certainly. So through the permitting process, that could be resolved.
It would have to be... We would have to amend the general plan first and then come back and change the code. Okay. And there may be, you know, in the future, a desire to, from council, once we have the regulatory language that's in the general plan now, mm-hmm. once we have it as actual regulations, maybe in the future a council may want to look at that. Okay. But for now, we're just going to make the match.
Okay. So. That's all.
Okay. Greg? No? Aaron? No? I got nothing.
I just had a clarifying question about conditional use permits, not understanding completely them, their entirety. Would a conditional use permit ever be used for a work-live situation?
It could. A conditional use permit is simply, it means it would need to go to the Planning Commission to be allowed as a use.
But it is a use that could be taken away at some point?
No. Once you have a conditional use permit, that runs with the land. It could be revoked. Right. If there are violations, there are a number of things that could happen, but that conditional use permit allows the use on that property.
Okay. I'm just thinking of the revocation possibility when you're dealing with people that are actually living somewhere inside is a little bit different than taking away some sort of business or industrial use.
There would have to be a significant issue to go after revocation. I've only done it once in my career, and that was for someone who was permitted to do a minor auto use, turned it into a major auto facility, and our council was not happy with it and asked us to revoke that permit. It's long. Lawyers tend to get involved. And so revocation only happens in really extenuating circumstances.
Okay. Next page, 217. Coming back the other way. Bill? Anything? No? Tom?
I'm not clear about under transportation, communication, utility uses. Communication facilities within buildings. What
That's a stealth wireless facility.
Okay.
We've seen a couple of them. I think there's one, or there was one proposed in the one of the towers at Camino Real at one point. Right. That would have been one, right?
So I'm just wondering why would it, if it's stealthed in inside, why would it not be permitted in some of these other zones? Because he's not allowed.
Actually, let me pull that and make sure.
Like, for instance, Camino Real Shopping Center, with some of the towers that go up there, I think they actually do have some sets.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that would be...
I'm sorry. I was incorrect. Facilities within buildings includes radio, television, or recording studios and telephone switching centers, but excludes antenna and transmission towers.
I see. Yeah. Okay. So Television City couldn't go to Old Town anytime soon.
Correct.
Unless they want to turn it all into a set.
That's a whole different issue we'd have to address as a code amendment.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Okay.
Likewise, one small clarification. Are reverse vending machines where you put your empties in and get some sort of coupon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And 218, Dennis, anything there?
Continuing on that, under accessory uses, I just have an aversion to vending machines everywhere, but that's just personal.
Okay, Tom? Bill? Okay, 219, table, development regulations, commercial districts. Bill? Mm-hmm. Tom?
No, I'm good.
Okay, next.
So I just want to clarify, I'm happy to continue doing a full page turn, but really the point was to look at the design aspects that are in these sections and get DRB comments on them. So however you want to go, I just know time is, I'm just recognizing the time constraints that you may have.
Okay.
And wanted to get home at some point later tonight. So.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay, we're coming back from Dennis's end, I believe, for anything on that page, 220? No. Aaron?
I do need to note that A1 will be deleted.
Oh.
Yeah. That was the original height restriction put forth for a conference center on the parcel for Old Town Village, where Old Town Village is now sitting, or will sit one day. And so that was the idea, was that could go to that height if there was a major hotel conference center on that site. But otherwise, there is no other district. So that's going to be modified.
Okay. And I tried to find, there's no definition for building height. Is that true?
It
wasn't in the definition section, I should say.
It's in the rules of construction for measurement. So it's not a definition, but it goes over how to measure height.
That's way early on then. That's why I missed it. Okay. Item C on that page. Adjacent to residential districts, minimum building setback from any R district, R zone boundary, or lot developed solely with residential use is 25 feet. I'm not sure why I was not understanding that. And where this whole ground floor transparency item issue, I've never seen that before, but so I guess I'm wondering, why we're concerned about it, and two, why we're controlling that. I don't understand that whole thing, concept.
Seems like that would create a weak first floor, I mean, structurally wise.
Not necessarily. No. It's more about with areas that are street facing, that it's not just one big wall, that there are transparency. I don't know what that noise was. Basic transparency restrictions built in, so it has that feeling of openness as someone's either walking on the street or driving on the street. It would prevent things like, I'm trying to think of the, not Raytheon,
An example from Santa Barbara would be like O'Reilly's Auto Parts on Milpus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you...
Used to be Sammy's Camera.
The whole, just big blank. The whole Milpus side is wall.
One big wall.
I don't know if you're...
Okay.
Yeah,
but that's an example where there's no transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think these transparency requirements are excessive, you can propose reductions. Any reduction from what is laid out here would be achieved through design review. So this is just to lay out the very basic minimal level that you would want to see in this community. And if that's not something that you're really interested in, or if you think this should be even less, and then you could reduce it to nothing,
well,
that's also something.
See, I've never run into it before, so I don't know whether I'm willing to reduce it or increase it. So I don't know what the ramifications of any of that are. So
okay.
At the moment, I guess, not knowing anything else, I'd leave it alone.
I can also put it on hold, and we could come back at a later time if you'd like time to think about it.
I'd appreciate that, because I think there is some merit to having ground floor transparency. I've never seen this before, but now that it's exposed, it seems to make sense. To what degree, to be determined, maybe on a project by project basis, but I think having it at least exposed in our minds is a good thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's other methods besides windows and doors too.
Other articulation that could also.
Well, and then I'm jumping ahead, I guess, but at the top of the next page, there's the whole thing about from the 3 foot height to the 7 foot height. Is that where that whole transparency thing happens, right? And so, seems to me that's weird too.
Yeah.
If we're just trying to allow or prevent blank walls.
Then
limited it to the 3 feet to the in that zone.
That's the pedestrian. The 3 feet to
right.
7 feet is how it affects the pedestrian,
right.
Not necessarily the driver. And so usually these are put into effect, especially in areas like Kyrielle, Old Town, where you're going to have a lot of those walkers and you want to maintain that openness, or on Milpus, if you were talking about that. I think there are ways that we might be able to lay some very basic ideas here and then refer it back to you.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be the way it would work
better.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is the thing I'm kind of afraid of is defining this stuff in such a way that if someone comes in and does like the minimum, we end up with like a whole streetscape of just this band.
Right.
Although, you know,
right.
So, anyways.
Okay.
Come back the other way on 221. Bill, anything?
No.
Tom?
No.
Yeah, I just talked about that thing. I guess I was wondering, and there's some other places I found this too, the word shall as opposed to must. As opposed to maybe can if you feel like it. You know, that whole thing. And I don't know if that's, again, one of those where we want to say shall or whatever. But
well, we're not allowed to use shall anymore. We need to be using must.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a legal thing. And so it's must or should, I think, is the best construction if we're looking at language for this.
Jennifer, a question for staff. On number one, it says that parking structures are not required to meet the ground floor transparency. Well, are parking structures allowed on main thoroughfare venues? My point being that here's a great place where this transparency would apply. Nothing
right.
kills the street more than having a parking structure right there. So
right.
it seems to me that a parking structure should have first floor commercial in it now.
Yes.
But I'm jumping around into
fine.
Zoning things.
It's okay. I won't.
You're following along.
Yes, I am. Okay, so I will take a look at that as well.
Yes. And just by default, I am familiar with these transparency things, and I think they're very beneficial. Even though the code might specify a band, that would be mitigated by a review with the committee.
Right. Yeah. And that's the language that would need to be added. It can always be changed by the board, something to that effect.
Okay. Well, and I guess maybe that gets down to item or paragraph 3, reduction through design review. Is that what is an approving authority, which I didn't understand, but then there's decision make, when you go to the definition of that, that comes back to decision-making body, right?
It would be, so let's say somebody, let's say we kept this the way it was, and somebody wanted to do only 25% of the building wall area as transparent. So when they came to you for design review as the approving authority over that building, you could make these findings mm-hmm. to grant that reduction.
Right.
Yeah.
So why aren't we just saying design review board rather than approving authority, which then leads you to decision-making body?
Well, because you know, we do have cases where, I mean, we're building in that administrative design review that we'll talk about in Part 5. So that is one level of approving authority. Then there's also the potential that it could be Planning Commission on appeal.
Okay.
And so.
I'll just let that go. It still comes back to when you look up approving authority, that it says look up decision-making body. So why not substitute for approving okay. authority decision-making body based upon your definitions?
We can do that.
Then down in F, pedestrian access, halfway through there, it starts with whenever feasible, direct, convenient, must be, that's not anything. F1, walkways to have a minimum 6 feet wide, I would argue 4 feet, which is the ADA requirement.
I would agree.
I'd say five.
Well, I agree five is preferable, but I don't want to be paving over areas that unnecessarily, so I'm trying to do right.
I don't know if I'm
going the right way anymore, but that's okay.
I kind of think it ought to vary depending on the zone.
Well, I would agree. I would, you know.
I mean,
but what I'm understanding or where they're going is they're trying to set up some minimums.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think
I would argue that a minimum walk in the middle of a apartment complex from one building to the other might be different than a minimum along a parking area.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So
6 comes from Public Works is trying to do 6 all the time, and so have that be our minimum, and so that's where that comes from. But 4 could obviously, that is the absolute minimum. Yeah. We can look at that.
Right.
That sounds mm-hmm. fine. We'll pass okay. that on.
Next page. 222, Bill? Nothing. Tom? H, transitional standards. Within 40 feet of a residential zone, boundary or lot line of a lot, maximum height is 30 feet. Don't know what that meant. I guess I'm wondering north. This whole setback thing, which I'm not against, mm-hmm. Gets me to thinking about northern property line and solar access mm-hmm. and specific setbacks trying to accommodate that for the property to the north.
Well, it's not only solar access, it's privacy, it's noise.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. And so, but I didn't see anything in anything I read that's even hinted at solar access yet, but maybe it's all solved within here. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. Next. Anybody? Next page, 223. Dennis? No. Aaron? No. I was wondering about separate permits. Individual business must obtain their own permits. What type of permit must they obtain? Business? I don't understand what that was all about. At least permit seems generic to me, as opposed to, is it a building permit, is it a land use permit, is a...
This is part of a commercial center containing 25,000 square feet or more.
Right.
Okay, I see where you're going.
But I just don't understand.
This is involving TIs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll clarify.
Yeah. Hey, Bill? Next page, 224. Again, down F, sidewalks. Where there is no storefront window, sidewalks must be located at least 6 feet from the facade of the structure. Anybody? Dennis? 225?
Yes, 225, number 4A, integrated theme, buildings and structures exhibit, and a consistent architectural theme versus integrated. Integrated doesn't mean anything to me as an architect. That includes similar or complementary materials, colors, and design details.
Right.
The rest of my thought there. And under building entrances to anchor tenants and other large stores are prominent and inviting and easily visible from parking areas and pedestrian entry points.
Anything else?
Page 225, under cart corrals. I understand the necessity of them and to make them visible so people know where to leave those. But I've seen some instances where they're now using cart corrals as kind of de facto signage in parking lots, using signage and colors, not only to designate where your cart comes from, but the fact that this is their establishment. So I don't know if there's some way of tamping down on cart corrals if they don't become more than what they're originally intended.
Would you like to add language that I'm not sure what the word would be, subtle? No.
would that be something added to the section on signage? Maybe like a prohibition, maybe something in the section on signage that's saying that signage on cart corrals shall not
exist.
Exist, there you go.
We certainly could. This is also, but if we're looking at design criteria for a commercial center, maybe there's a way.
I would argue that it's kind of defeating somewhat the purpose, but I think where I've seen them is like large Targets or something where they have the cart corrals out in the middle of the parking lot, mm-hmm. and they have the things that go up in the air that are maybe 7-8 feet high that you can see some from a distance, so you know where they are located.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, those would come before you, so the right. board would be able to decide.
Those are over the spot to find
out. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, then that you have the reverse with the ones that will be in front of Sprouts when that comes. They have no signage. They just have
right.
the cuts into the curb and other curb built for them. Right. So I think we have a wide varying mix within the city. Okay, but we can deal with it in signs.
Okay. 226? No? Sidewalks must be provided. I had that circled, but I think I would agree with that. I mean, sidewalks have to meet ADA. I think that's the ultimate minimum. So, and the thing I like about referring to that in other places is if we've referred to our standard as ADA minimum,
mm-hmm.
and then
it changes.
Right, exactly. Right. If ADA changes, then ours automatically changes with it rather than locking us into a number.
Yeah, I think that sentence could be rewritten, though, to be
Okay.
Chair, still on this page. Transit facilities, does that mean bus stops? Or would it include bus stops?
It would include mm-hmm. bus stops.
Yep.
Because I know there are places where we're not meeting all these criteria, more so in the newer ones, but not necessarily with some of the legacy bus stops.
Right. Keep in mind, though, that this is for a commercial development over 25,000 square feet. So, but you're right. And this would be for new development, which reasonably, we're not going to have anything else of this size, but you never know, someone could decide to redevelop. So that's...
Well, but 20, 30, 40 years down the road...
Exactly.
You know, when our urban boundary pushes out, you never know, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Anything else on that, Dennis? No? Okay, chapter 1709, office districts. Roman numeral 227.
Yes, Jennifer, mm-hmm. could you briefly explain why having the two different designations, business park and office institutional? I see that OI allows for a mix of housing in it, but Business Park does not. Why the two different ones?
Because
and what do they do?
We have two different designations within the general plan. So we needed to come up with zoning districts that would apply to each one.
Okay.
So it's part of the future land use map. And we probably, next time I will bring one, although...
It would help my understanding of what the definitions apply to, yes.
I think there's a land use map back in the back here, but I don't know about the general plan.
Yeah, that might
plan
be the zoning
not,
map.
Yeah, it's just the zoning map. It's not the general plan.
But in our general plan, it calls out the designation, the IBP for Business Park, and then the IOI. And there are very different definitions of what that future land use should be. And we've tried to reflect that as much in the purpose. So it does. It is that mix of MRP doesn't necessarily have housing per se. One interesting thing is the Cortona apartments that came through. That was actually not zoned MRP. So if that had been, the whole parcel had been zoned MRP, then they would have needed to come in for a rezone as part of that in order to provide the housing. But they had done the rezone as part of, or not the rezone, but the designation as part of the general plan when it was first adopted in 2006 that took that out and put the affordable housing overlay on it. That's how that was able to move forward.
Coming back, anything? Next page, which is the table for office districts.
Public and semi-public uses. It looks like, you know, colleges and trade schools aren't permitted in the Business Park designation. I've seen some business schools down south of here. I forget whether it's Ventura or Oxnard. In a business park, it seems to fit well. Why
and
would they not?
Their zoning and general plan may work a little bit differently, but our general plan was pretty clear with the MRP that it not include, I mean, description. It's a general plan.
And that's also for, I'm not sure what community assembly is. I mean, this is kind of.
It's not just churches.
No, but I mean, this place right here.
This is a public institution, but community assembly, let me read the definition. It's more than just religious facilities. So it's a facility for public or private meetings, including community centers, banquet centers, religious assembly facilities, civic and private auditoriums, union halls, meeting halls for clubs and other membership organizations. This classification includes functionally related facilities for the use of members and attendees, such as kitchens, multi-purpose rooms, classrooms, and storage. It does not include gymnasiums and other sports facility uses that represent more than 20% of overall square footage.
So is this another thing with the general plan?
To a point, we're getting some comments from the community where we may end up splitting out the religious assembly because of the rules that are applied depending on where the Planning Commission chooses to go.
As again, I was curious, I was just doing some pro bono work for American Legion, and the place I'm doing a TI for them is in Oxnard in a business park.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else on that page? 22-228? No? Next page? 229, continuation of the table? Nope. Next page, 230, Roman numeral 230. Bill?
No.
No? I guess I was a little concerned about building form and location, maximum building height 35 feet, minimum first floor seating height, clear, 12 feet. Seems, yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if you want 15, but you push 12 feet too far to 15, pretty soon you're not going to be able to get two stories in 35 feet.
Right.
What was the intent? I circled this too. Yeah. What was the intent behind 12 feet?
Yeah, why even have a minimum ceiling height there? Why not just, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
That might be the way to deal with that. Because once you've got the building height, I mean, if you fit three stories in 35, you can do it, right? But why have that minimum? I didn't understand what the intent was there. Okay.
Thank you.
Next page. 231. Dennis?
The only suggestion I had was under D1, that it be short-term customer parking can be located near the office area.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Oh, wow. 32, look at that. I like that page.
We'll make the same editing changes that we made the previous.
Okay, industrial districts. Bill? Okay. No? Nope. Does that mean we can just kind of zip through the table? 34? Anybody? 35? Page 35? I didn't have anything on any of them. 36? You good? Good, good. 37. Separation of parking areas. Parking areas must be separated from on-site buildings by a distance of at least 10 feet. Seems weird to me. Why would you, again, it's one of those things, why are we putting a restriction on something that I'm not sure what the ramifications of doing it is? Next page, 38. Oh, go ahead.
Maybe I missed it, and maybe it is in this, but is there anywhere that calls out number of planter islands that need to occur within certain...
That's in the parking section.
Okay. Page 38. We're good? I didn't have anything there. Public and quasi-public zone, chapter 1711. Good, 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 looks like you're good. Page 40, 41, we might as well try doing these two at a time at this rate.
Just a note, Jennifer, under transportation, communication, utilities, there's no designation. That is, it's not, use not allowed there.
It's just not a, use not allowed, it's
just
blank.
A blank. Perhaps it's a staff oversight, you see.
Oh, committee.
Under utilities.
Under utilities, okay. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
The AU should be up a row.
Yeah, the where it says transportation passenger terminal, that administrative use permit, that should be in utilities. It's a typo.
Okay, and then there's major and minor on the next one. Right. Got it.
Oh, I see. So it's a formatting thing.
Yes.
Yes, it's something we got to merge. Cut. Right.
Okay. Page 41, development regulations. Good. 42, setbacks. Why, I guess I'm questioning here if in the previous table it calls for a maximum building height of 35 feet. Oh, and then on figure on page 42 it starts at 25 and goes, maybe that's not in conflict, I guess.
It's the transitional. So if you're within the 40 feet, then you need to be at 25, but you can eventually go to a maximum of 35 feet.
Okay. Next chapter, office. How far are we going on here? Open space agricultural districts, 43?
Question.
Oh, yep.
In terms of zoning, did we used to have an A1 and an A2 designation? And
ag.
Are those now being combined into just one designation for the remaining agricultural property?
A1 and A2?
In our zoning or in the general plan?
No, zoning.
I would need to check and see.
There was an Ag 1 and an Ag 2,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if we had any within the city. We obviously had some. And what your question is
are we just combining it into AG?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were certain distinctions.
Right. There were
between the two.
So
all right. We'll take a look at that.
Land use regulations, page 44 and 45.
Another blank in the matrix under public and semi-public uses. Parking, public or private, AG is not listed.
Okay.
All right. On 44 and 45?
Mm-hmm.
I see noted as the sustainable living research. And I'm not sure what is then encompassed under that. I was just thinking in terms of permitted uses such as environmental education, environmental tourism, agricultural research lab or station.
The agricultural research, that's part of the sustainable living research site, which is defined in section 1742.350. That is something that's probably morphing as we go through this process, because the person that brought it forward is now sort of altering what they were thinking about moving forward. So I would expect that section, the 1742.350, is going to change a little bit. As far as the educational, we could certainly look at those. We'll take down, can you say that list again?
Yeah, environmental education, you know, I know that Fairview Gardens does a lot of that, and potentially other agricultural sites could do that as well. And also heard about things such as environmental tourism, where people come to Goleta not just to stay at a top 10 hotelier, but mm-hmm. have alternatives and other places to stay and maybe even pitch in and do a little bit of work as well. And then I always think of our connections with the university here and with the Brand School in terms of research labs and sustainable community strategies and locally supported community agriculture, things like that.
Yeah, sustainable living, that did encompass some of it. There's also a right to farm and some of the sustainability farming sections in 1742. But we'll take a look at that. I think the environmental education aspect could be housed in some of these other uses. We will go through the use classifications and see if that touches on those things, because it may already be included. But we'll definitely check into that.
I appreciate that. And there was just one other thing that I had, and it has to do with greenhouse and the new issue of hoop structures these days, which aren't really considered a building but are just kind of a temporary structure. And if there's anything that mentions what the maximum height for hoop structures might be.
Let me take a look.
Looks for maximum building height in agriculture is 35. But I'm not sure if that includes greenhouses and or hoop structures.
Okay. We'll take a look at that. I don't believe we've defined it. So good catch. Thank you.
Why is, not being a farmer, so I really don't know, but the ag designation says for greenhouses, they're limited to 10% of the lot coverage. What if they're growing something that exclusively means greenhouses
or hoop structures?
Okay.
Like raspberries or
orchids.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a look. There are the minimum standards is the 10%, but we could certainly take a look and see if there needs to be a range and how modification would move forward.
So that's as far as they can go.
Right.
So I'm just questioning that.
Okay, I'm hoping this is, I'm correct here. Last one, huh? Okay. Page 47, Plan Development District. Anything?
Is there an example of what might be currently a Plan Development District or what might in the future be a Plan Development District?
There's a lot of things we have here that could have been, but they weren't. A Plan Development District is a way to take a large development and essentially rewrite the code for it. You're creating a new district. You have very specific regulations that apply to it and development standards that would all have to be approved. Another way people do it here is through a specific plan. It's sort of the same thing. Specific plan is a little more involved than a plan development district, but we have seen it with, not here necessarily, but you do see it with subdivisions. In some cases, Winchester Commons could have been done under a plan development district. I'm not sure whether or not they were. Even things like Westar, if they'd wanted to go through Hollister Village, that process, they could have done that. They could have done a specific plan. Cabrillo Business Park chose to go through a specific plan. So there's it's just a way to bundle. And then instead of coming in for a development and saying, I need 300 modifications, can we look at this just as the development and then work the code in advance? But it requires rezoning. It requires council approval. It's very involved. But it's a tool that can be used.
I'm familiar with this from my planning studies, and I think this is a very commendable chapter that allows for lots of flexibility for things that we really don't know how we're going to live in the future.
Right. Okay. I mean, even Old Town Village could have gone through this if they had wanted to go in that direction. Right. But they chose to move through just a standard format.
Are there reasons to make this attractive so that projects want to do this versus other paths that they choose? Or it's just part of the whole menu of options?
It's a menu of options. It's with the work that's required as part of this and the rezoning that has to happen with it, it makes it more difficult, I think, in some ways, as far as the approval process goes, but as far as bundling everything into one single application zoning district, it can make it easier for the applicant. So it's just a tool. I've done them in different cities. They tend to work very well, but we rarely build in incentives to encourage people to do it. It's just really used as a technical tool.
Anything else on page 47?
Well, the main reason why we wouldn't, it clogs up the zoning map because it creates new zones and then it has a PD and it gets really hard to read the more that you have. So that's from the administration standpoint, it's a lot of things to track. So.
48, 49, anybody?
49, number 7, I think that should just say landscape plan, not open space plan, because everything else would be covered in the site plan, I would think.
Dennis?
Yes, Jennifer, under B2, development within the PD is demonstratively superior. Is there a way to define that or quantify that?
Well, the nice thing is this is a finding that the commission would have to make. Okay. So this is, you know, when you're talking about, is this compatible with the surrounding neighborhood? Is this harmonious with the general area? The board or the commission has to make that call.
Thank you.
And I'm sure they'll wonder about that when they're making the finding, but just like they do with compatible and harmonious, yes.
This wouldn't change in any way the role of the design review board or our process?
No, not at all.
This process?
Not at all. This is a land use entitlement function, and then it would still come to you for overall approval. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's that.
Okay.
Now
let's get
I have
to
a question of, we have two things left here, regulations applying to multiple districts, which is part 4. We were supposed to have done. And we also have, which I guess, is that Oh, maybe. Is that just signs?
Yes, signs. Only signs.
Really? We don't get to deal with anything else like parking?
If you'd like, we'll bring it back to you. Okay. Certainly. But we had noticed, because there was a desire to look at signs on the next meeting.
Yes, that is correct. And we have a member of the public who I would like to get to, so that's where I was trying to get to. So signs is next then.
Let me ask the question. So parking, you've already looked at lighting and landscaping. Any other sections that have jumped out at you that you'd like to look at from a design perspective? If there are, please let us know. We'll be happy to come and walk you through them.
I know you're not anxious to drag this process on any further than it needs to. I just don't want to give the parking, the signs short shrift. I just wonder if the chair thinks this is something we can adequately address.
Signs?
The remainder of this evening, or it's something that
we can also come back at the next meeting.
Back at the next
happy
meeting
to
be
keep
even
coming
a little
back.
Bit better prepared.
I guess.
Or if public comment wants to be taken.
Sure, public.
That's fine.
Are you good?
Okay.
Public comment would be good, and you could come back at another time if you have other things to.
I think you need to do it as a package.
Yes, I would agree with that. So you're good with coming back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So next time we will do parking and signs. Well, signs first, and then parking.
Yes.
Parking is
1739.
And for any of you who were watching last night, the Planning Commission at 1739070 made comments that they would like to see other options that would allow recreational vehicle parking in the front setback. So just clarify for any members of the public who are watching. And I'm sure there will continue to be a lively discussion about that issue all the way through the process.
Because we're there talking about it, I can't imagine that there's a recreational vehicle that is 15 feet high, because most fire trucks, gas stations, all of that is all set at 13 and a half to 14 feet.
Even overpasses are 14.
Yeah, exactly. So it can't even get under an overpass. So I would argue that 15.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't, because I know the Fiesta Parade. I was doing float design for a while, and to negotiate the 101 State Street underpass, that's 15 feet 4 inches.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had told the commission that we would go back and look at that number because there was members of the public who raised that issue.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Then we will do signs and at least parking next time.
We'll notice both of them, so if whether or not you can get through them, they'll be available.
Okay.
And we do have a light agenda next meeting on another item. So,
okay, cool. Then, with that, does anybody have any announcements? Nope.
I just have one more. There is an all-day workshop this Saturday on the zoning ordinance. Did you already talk about?
Yes, you mentioned about that at the beginning. So, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Then meeting is adjourned, and a good evening to the good land.
See you later.